This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One. I'm Greta Mart.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Fort Hunter Liggett Army Base in Monterey County. I'm covering a combat training exercise with more than 7,000 Army Reserve soldiers from 103 units and allied troops from around the world. Come along and join me as I visit with Brigadier General Shane Buzza, commander of the 91st Training Division at Fort Hunter Liggett, followed by insights from two of the troops.
My name is Brigadier General Shane Buzza. I'm the commanding general of the 91st Training Division here at Fort Hunter Liggett.
Tell us about your background. Did you grow up as a kid knowing you were going to go Army?
I didn't know I'd go Army. I thought at first I might go Air Force, but I knew that I was going to do military service. And when I was nominated and accepted to the military academy, I accepted that and pursued my career from there.
Did you ever imagine when you were in high school that you would wind up a brigadier general?
No, I didn't, actually. I thought that I would put in maybe 20 years and rise to the level of lieutenant colonel and then retire from there.
But obviously, you're staying with the program and you love it, you have a smile on your face. What is the most rewarding part of your mission here at Hunter Liggett?
The most rewarding part of the mission here at Hunter Liggett is really everywhere in the Army, and that is serving with soldiers on this team. We're on the best team in the world. We've got a mission, we've got values, and we've got each other. And there's nothing better than being on a team like that.
Talk specific. Here we are this morning. We were out ODARC 30, and there was an exercise going on.
It's called a combined arms breach. What we're doing at the combat support training exercises like this at Fort Hunter Liggett is we're preparing America's Army Reserve for what could be the next major encounter if we have to go somewhere. We want to be ready to answer the nation's call. We're preparing ourselves for what could be a threat that could be almost equal to our capabilities. For the last 15 years, we've been fighting in a much different environment. And we don't want to be caught unawares by an enemy that might be able to erode our overmatch capabilities. So what you saw today was the culmination of the last few weeks of preparations to do offensive operation.
Let's talk specifics to Hunter Liggett and its primary mission. And correct me if I'm wrong, but reserve training and guard training is a real underpinning of this operation, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely it is. Fort Hunter Liggett is one of the Army Reserve's installations. In fact, in terms of space, it's got about 165,000 training acres. It's larger than all of the other Army Reserve installations combined. It's the seventh largest training area in the Army inventory. So we use it from an Army Reserve and Guard perspective to train our sustainment units and all of our other functional units as well, because it has that capacity to do theater-level training.
So this is nationwide. This is not California National Guard. This is America. This is their training ground.
You're right. Yes, sir. This is America's Army Reserve. We have units here from as far away as Maine, Pennsylvania, Florida, Texas, Washington State, and Puerto Rico.
And this weekend, for example, is this one specific training exercise, and I understand there's probably, 8,000 troops on base this weekend?
We do. We have, for about a three-week period, we bring in up to close to 8,000 soldiers, predominantly Army Reserve. However, we do have some active component soldiers that serve as our opposing forces. We also have some guard forces from Arizona that are supporting us in our reception and our staging and our supply operations here.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems that a little while ago there was the Air National Guard here, with C-130s coming in. Was that correct in my memory?
No, you're absolutely correct. In fact, we combine our CSTX with Global Medic. The Global Medic exercise is a partnered exercise with foreign countries. We have Guard Air as well as Army Reserve Aviation. But we also have some foreign country representation. We've got Canadians that are participating in Global Medic.
This weekend you have Canadians,
yes,
correct?
Yes, Canadians, officers from Colombia. This is the best part of the Army. We just keep moving all the time. We don't stop.
Literally.
That's right. So, from Canada, Colombia, Germany, Saudi Arabia, many of our mission partners are involved in the Global Medic exercise.
That's very cool.
I can tell you that some of the most elite organizations in the world use Fort Hunter Liggett for training because of its austere It's actually very deceptively dangerous out here. It can be very unforgiving, but it provides the training environment that those types of elite units need.
So that's interesting. From an antithesis of technology, just the geology and the terrain gives you a unique training environment, doesn't it?
It certainly does, yeah. And in fact, what we've seen is a heavy reliance on technology coming in recent years, really for the last couple of decades. But our expectation is that we will not necessarily have, or we cannot count on, having dominance in all of those domains. Mm-hmm. So we train in degraded communications status so that we rely on our technology. If we don't have it, we'll be able to execute our mission anyway.
Okay, and real quickly, just an overview of your areas of expertise. Why would a guard unit from the East Coast transport all the way out here to train here, other than just environment?
Well, it's because we're bringing units that need to work together from different functional capacities and train together so that if they happen to deploy together, which is the most likely scenario, we're all going to go down range together. We've rehearsed and we've practiced as organizations linked up, and we're much more effective that way. It's far less likely to run into coordination issues and lack of planning together. That just creates chaos on the battlefield.
Okay, curveball. We talked about what you're most proud of. What's your biggest frustration? What's your biggest challenge?
Well, the challenges really are shifting from a way of training that we've been fighting the last 15 years and the mindset of soldiers in terms of a sustainment and stable operations and counterinsurgency. We have a whole cohort of our warriors who have not been involved in multi-domain battle and offensive operations. So the biggest challenge is for them to understand we're going to be presented with a thinking, determined, and very capable enemy, much different from what we have in the past. So we have to get them to recognize what that new threat looks like. That's the biggest challenge.
Interesting. And it's...
Yeah.
APC.
Are we good to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Ed Hunter-Liggett, you do ongoing training winter, summer, fall, all throughout the year. Give us kind of an overview of the diversity of training exercises.
Okay. Well, we prepare for the whole host and range of threats that America faces. And we use this base, as well as all of the other bases in the Army Reserve Inventory, to train and prepare for all of those contingencies.
Do you do an exercise once a month?
Well, we typically will do 5 major exercises like this over the course of a training year.
And a typical exercise could have 8, 9, 10,000 troops.
It could range anywhere from 4,000 to 12.
And one more, partnership with Camp Roberts, which isn't that far away.
No, actually, it's wonderful that we have, and I'll extend that up to Camp Parks, mm-hmm. up in the Bay Area. And then if you take a look at the port operations in San Francisco and Los Angeles, now we've got the entire central coast of California that we can use for theater-enabling capabilities for the Army Reserve for training. And mm-hmm. we bring in multiple functions to stress our formation so that if we have to go somewhere that's very complex mm-hmm. and dynamic environment, we can replicate that in training and be prepared for that if we're called on to operate there.
Well, I could talk to you all day, but I think I could let you go. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
We're here with...
My name is Command Sergeant Major Jeffrey Krueger from the 315th Engineer Battalion out of Camp Pendleton, California.
How many troops do you have with you from your outfit?
Right now, we have about half our battalion, so it's approximately 600 soldiers on the ground here. I have 2 construction companies out here. We have a sapper company. We have a mobility company, which is the bridge layer you see out there, the AVLB. We have our headquarters, of course, our support company. We are a pretty diversified battalion. We can do a lot of things.
When you started in the Army, did you evolve and change and figure out what you wanted to do later?
So I started out as a Bradley Fighting Vehicle Crewman, Mechanized Infantry, since I've been in the reserves. Now I was 10 years active duty, 13 years reserves. I've moved along to a lot of different assignments. My previous assignment, I was a Military Intelligence Battalion Sergeant Major. Prior to that, I was in Afghanistan as an Information Operations Senior Enlisted Advisor and Planner. I was a Company First Sergeant for an Information Operations Group. Before that, I was a Observer Controller Trainer with the 75th Training Command, which has now evolved into the 84th Training Command.
And here, when you come to Hunter-Liggett, what do you like, what do you enjoy the most about training here?
Well, you get a large training area. It's challenging. It provides navigational challenges. It provides a lot of space for units to maneuver, a lot of space to get multiple units out here and work together. The weather makes it a challenge, the heat, which is good because we typically go nice, temperate places. So it just provides a tough training environment.
Today, what was the most challenging aspect?
There is a lot of moving parts to a breach like this. It's a very complex operation. You know, you go through the rehearsals and the planning, and you've got it all organized how you want to do it, and then you actually begin movement, and then Murphy always has his way. So little hiccups happen, and we've got to overcome the hiccups and reorganize ourselves and get ourselves back on track. Command Sergeant Major Jeffrey Krueger, 315th Engineer Battalion, Camp Pendleton, California.
What a pleasure to talk to you. I really appreciate you sharing.
Thank you, sir.
Nogueira.
Nogueira. You're from?
From Brazil.
Brazil. Brasilia. What's your area of specialization in the Army?
I am engineering too. I'm engineering officer from Brazilian Army.
The reason that you come here all the way from Brazil to train has to do working partnership with multinational military, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And so again, back to the basics, part of it is just command and communication, right?
Yes, we also try to do these things, try and figure our operation out.
Procedures.
I'm here with another Brazilian captain, and he's right now with the companies and I'm staff just to try and understand and participate the whole operation.
So by your insignia there, that looks like a engineer's.
Castle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like we have the Army Corps of Engineers has a very similar logo in America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, in our world, engineers,
really?
Yes.
Did they all have the same,
yes,
same
the
castle?
Yes, the same kind of castle.
Well,
different
interesting.
Castle, but yes.
When you were a kid, did you know you were going to go in the Army and be an engineer?
Not be an engineer, but I always want to be a soldier, such as my father. My father was an Army sergeant, too. So
you grew up in a military family then?
Yes, we grew up in a military family, studying military college, in military schools, and all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a dream that mm-hmm. realized. Probably the most important thing is how you evaluate your troops. It's probably the main idea you take to Brazil. And also how you coordinate whole operations. You know, it's a very complex operation. Mm-hmm. You have to plan and check and coordinate many things at the same time, and probably it is the most important things I would take to Brazil.
Environmentally, the terrain here at Hunter Liggett, does it remind you of your home country at all?
Yes, we have
familiar.
Some place. Yes,
so you feel very comfortable and familiar. And,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Well, thank you.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.